Blog Talk Radio.
Seven feet, barren, strange fruit, blood on the leaves. And blood at the root. Black bodies swinging in the southern breeze. Strange fruit hanging from the poplar tree. Of the gallant South, them big bulging eyes and the twisted mouth. Scent of magnolia, clean. Then the sudden smell of burning flesh. Here is the fruit for the crows to pluck.
Wow. I mean, first of all, righteous peace and greetings to everyone. Much love, respect, and honor to my brother, Sun Ray Nine. And, of course, you know that only means peace to the righteous. Let's not get it twisted, okay? Hearing the words of our sister through that melody, a song. I mean, I can't help but see nothing but black. I mean, how can you even think about forgetting that only happened a generation or two ago? It's in your DNA. No matter, you know, what your scholarship is, you come from that same tree. And now that we are the strange fruit rising, we are the strange fruit rising. And if you are not of that tree, this is not for you. Simple as that. Brother Son, are you with me?
Peace and greetings, my sister. How you doing?
I'm still standing. How's about that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Throughout it all, we're still standing.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Throughout it all, we have got to be the supreme black. What else could we be called but black? Black is the supreme state of balance. All color, every single iota drop of color is within black. Whites, which our open enemy is so righteously called, is the absence of all color. That strange fruit, that tree, the spirit, our spirit never dies. Never dies. One thing about the melanated being, you know, when they deceased or no longer in the physical body, you know, the mechanism is just not moving. The mind has been totally disconnected. Okay? We only turn into ghosts. You know, like black belt between the 6 and 7 ether. Spirit is still strong. Now, because we have this melanin recessive, because everything, you know, has a degree of melanin, but melanin recessive means that when you go out and face the Son of God, no matter all the crimes that you've done under the sun, all the crimes that you've done on the tree, and you think no one has seen, and you're not going to be held accountable. Brother Sun, so much is happening. It's happening all over the world. I had a correspondence with a sister out in UK, I believe it was yesterday, out there on Google+, and she was talking about, you know, police brutality and things like that, you know, and of course, you know, we've had our conversation just the other week, you know, you and all of my brothers whom I love so dearly. You know, all these wise minds and scholars. Boy, what a company be in, you know. But, you know, I had to let her know that the Ku Klux Klan and the police are the same. It's just that the majority of the KKK is, you know, and, you know, with the police department, which is to protect the law, not to protect and serve the citizens, but to protect and uphold the law. And the law is the corporation of the United States. You know that conversation we had. And she was so appreciative. You know, she said that, you know, she wants us to understand. And I'm relating this to a lot of foreigners now because I see exactly where she came from. When she talks or when she's posting and talking from the outside or from the information that she is receiving, that the public, the media, is allowing them to see. You know what I'm saying? So she was like, wow, now she totally understands, and they're going to be preparing themselves for this, because she said it's going to be a matter of time. I guess they're not, but, you know, the police aren't wilding out, you know, over there like they're doing over here, you know, trying to instill fear again, you know, in our children. But like I said, the strange fruit rising. Can't do nothing about it. You can't escape this ass whipping going up or down. It is what it is. What say you, brother?
Yes, indeed. I'm on the purple. What's your guess? Oh, it's area code 215.
Hopefully that is the president of the PGRNA, President Alvin Brown.
Spring of man. Yes, area code 215. Your mic is open. Peace to you.
Yes, yes. Oh, pretty land. This is Baba Khaled. I'm just listening.
Baba Khaled. Oh, this is an honor. This is certainly an honor. He's just listening. Well, this is, you know, and I claim to be my Baba. They're also PGRNA original warrior, brave, fearless, black man, God King. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Anytime you want to speak, just press 1 on the keypad. Okay, Baba? Thank you for being here. Okay, Brother Sam, you can, you know, cry Baba out. You know, he's just here. That's Baba, y'all. Oh, my gosh. All right, Baba, this is the strange fruit rising. And, you know, And I hadn't forgotten, and it certainly was in the forefront of my mind. I just hadn't verbalized it. You know, first and foremost, I have to give all praises to the Most High Highest, Creator, all creators and creations, in the name of my lifelong best friend, the Messiah Jesus. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, Brother Son, you know, I say a lot's been going on, you know, especially being out in the universe, speaking with people, faces, I mean, not even faces, you know, just I don't know, a soul behind the keyboard, and just trying to communicate, truly trying to get in tune. I guess that's a good, you know, phrase for it, trying to get in tune with whom you hope are your lost brothers and sisters, you know, and your sons and your daughters, you know. But, man, I mean, I put a cry out for, you know, all of my brave, fearless, you know, sexy as you want to be, sisters and mamas, you know, because something has gone wrong in the minds and the behavior of a lot of our men child. Something has gone seriously wrong. They have forgotten their place, truly have forgotten their place. Some of our men child, and no one can deny that. And when you have gone so far, so astray, so far away from the core that you can't even recognize where you came from, you disrespect that from which you came, especially when they come into you in an upright way. You know, you see, you know, the women and the mothers, they come in, and you know they're clean and they're decent. But because there's something that's wrong in the minds of some of our men, child, they think it's okay to be blatantly disrespectful and ignorant to the woman, not realizing that now if you're putting these negative energies into that woman, that's the same thing as if you are poisoning the ground that you want to produce the food, you know, to live off of. But yet these are so-called scholars who are doing this. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
It's like, what is going on? This is why, you know, it's like, I don't know, the brothers can't seem to get to them, you know, because of this ego that seems to be just eating at so many more of our brothers, this ego thing, is this ego, my gosh. You know, no one want to put the ego in the pocket. So it's time for us, from whom every man, woman, and child come from, the womb man. These are our children, every last one of you. And it's time for us as the real woman, the real mamas, you know, to realize that and come back out here, and we have to straighten out our children, regardless of whether they want to realize it, accept it, or not. And if you didn't come, like I say, from that tree, and you didn't come from the womb of a woman, this ain't about you. Step the hell up. Stop confusing my babies. Stop confusing our children. You know, we're here trying to build up from the words who are rising up from that same strange fruit tree that my sister was talking about. That tree right there that you are, if you're looking at your computer, and you visualize, you see that tree, and you just keep looking at that tree, and you see the body that is infused in that tree. You don't see the spirits and feel the energy of our ancestors in that tree. All the pain and the horror, ooh, the disgust that happened through that tree. And the Most High Highest being the cleverest of all that is clever, when he wrote or when they wrote, however the word or the thought got onto this wood, which in turn is now paper, right, said and use a metaphor or an analogy or an algorithm that the people or the tree represents the people. Interesting. Trees don't forget. And we shouldn't forget. How can we forget? Everyone is on this. Well, I. This is what ego do, okay? Well, I know this. And But do you know, because man, you know, another interesting post on G Plus where, you know, and I don't know these things, these thoughts can come out my head, you know, and I just give all praises to the Most High High for everything. So I, you know, hey, thank you. They had a post about the ancient Egyptians and the ships that they made and the planes, you know, that they made, okay? So I'm like, cool. But, you know, I guess, you know, the ancient Egyptians also had the power to come together collectively to manifest themselves into a ship. They did. You know, it wasn't about this I. It was this we. When we come, if you got powers and I got powers, it's like electromagnetism. When we come together, Speak, brother, son.
Yeah, speak on it, my sister. Speak on it. I'm really glad you're speaking on the ego. Let's show you we are in tune. Because I'm just sitting here thinking about the ego, and you start speaking on it. And I'm saying that's a lot of our problem. You know, we speak about unity, like I said, unification and things of that nature. But a lot of our problem why we hadn't unified is because a lot of ego. You know, a lot of people want to be the front runner. You know, they talk about in politics, the front runner. Who's the front runner in this political game? That's what a lot of us want to be. And, you know, we can't see sometimes or even take it when a person, you know, like we say we got a plan that we're going to do. We talk about it and this and that. But when a person actually... And we wait to see, is it going to really manifest? But we don't. Everybody just kind of procrastinate on it. But when one person or another person, two or three people step out and just make things start to happen, our ego start to kick in, and we tend to get mad about it or, you know what I'm saying, just stop wanting to just do anything with the group, you know. But somebody has to step out there. And then a lot of times we have a lot of jealousy amongst us. That's a lot of problems. Our ego and jealousy with our people.
That's the word. That's the word, brother. Speak on it.
We would never get anywhere with that type of thing. You know, like I said, if you're not a good planner, you're not a person who can put things into play or whatever. I mean, we got to learn to play our roles. You know what I'm saying? I'm probably not good at putting things together from the start. But I can help manage it. You know, I'm good at doing that. So I'm not going to get mad when somebody puts something together and they say, look, this is what I would like to do, man. Can you help me out? Sure. If you lead the way, cool. I got your back. I'm riding with you. I'm never going to get the ego. And like I said, it's like always that I. That's why y'all see me, if everybody ever see me type, I put the I. And I don't put the letter I. Itself, I always spell the letter I like in the seeing eye, E-Y-E, because I don't want to be alone. So I'm going to be in the three. I'm going to put the three words to it, the three letters to it, because I'm not standing alone in this thing. It's not my fight alone, because when I fight, I'm fighting for not only myself, it started with me, but I'm fighting for my mother, who was before me, who had to go through things. My grandmother, my grandfather, my aunts who went before me, my uncles, I still have to fight for them because they are still going through things right now today. You know, they even though they were here before me, but there's a lot of things that never had been cleared, that the way hadn't really been totally cleared. So it's still a fight. It's still a struggle. And I want to speak right fast on prayer about our youth in Ferguson. A lot of people, here's something I've been tripping off of. We always talk about, like, when just for instance, let's go back to Eric, the brother Eric Garner that got choked out in New York and the police killed the brother. We were saying all on the radios, and I say we because it was a lot of us. A lot of people were saying this. I'm going to put the we in it. I ain't going to put the I in it. I ain't going to do the ego. A lot of people were saying, well, when are we going to stand up? What are we going to do about this? When are we going to stop the police brutality? When are black people going to say enough is enough? Well, they said there was a state that's called Missouri, and they call it the Show Me State. That's what they call it, Show Me State. And just happened, there's an incident that happened in Ferguson, Missouri. So those people are saying, well, since y'all always want to holler, what are we going to do? What are black people going to start standing up? When are we going to say enough is enough? They showing you enough is enough. Now we want to complain and talking about they stupid for doing out that stuff. They stupid for standing up fighting for themselves. See, we don't even know when you ask for something and it come. Now you want to complain about it, but you was just asking when are we going to stand up? When are we going to stop? When are we going to stand up and stop letting things happen? Those people in Ferguson, they're showing and proving. They're standing up. They living up to what their state is called, the Show Me State. They showing you. And so just for instance, and a lot of people talk about our youth. Those are a lot of our young people that's out there doing this thing. They are standing up because they are fed up. We just sit back like the Jesse Jackson, just hold hands, let's pray on it. No, them people, ain't them young folks, they tired of that. They tired of y'all hearing y'all saying, let's stand up. So what I've been seeing now, some parts across the country, and I'm going to see it right here in Memphis. See, there's a Clean Your Act Up campaign been going on now with these police because I was watching the thing with the Ferguson. I've been checking that out. They was talking about how the police, you know, they supposed to be out in the community talking with people and doing things in the community. Because they do try to say, yeah, we are public servants and all of this. We were supposed to work in the community to do this and that. So I've been seeing here in Memphis now, there's a lot of heat because now we have a lot of people was killed in the hands of the police here in Memphis. There was a lot of protests that have been going on down here in Memphis. But it didn't make nationwide news, which a lot of times it don't need to be. But people have been fighting. So now what a lot of these police agencies are doing, now they're trying to clean their reputation up. Now they're getting out in the communities. Like, for instance, I posted up on Facebook earlier how the police was out in the neighborhoods, cleaning up the neighborhoods, y'all. I'm not talking about cleaning up the drug dealers. I'm actually talking about picking up paper on side the road, old mattresses that's been thrown out in the ditches and stuff. They're actually getting out there now doing this in the community. And this is what they said. They said, well, they're getting in the community to where they're supposed to be protecting and serving the community. So now it's just like a Clean Your Act Up campaign. When people were talking about, well, why the police ain't out here doing this, now they're trying to do it to clean their act up because of what went on in Ferguson. So if it wasn't for those people getting out there, standing out there protesting, having their peaceful rallies and whatnot, rallying, and making people do what the hell they're supposed to do because they say that we are public servants because I do a lot of stuff in the community. I do sanitation. So that means I'm a public servant. I'm supposed to serve the public. So like politicians, we supposed to make them, when you so-called elect them in the office, they're public servants. They're supposed to work for you, and they're supposed to live in your neighborhood, and they're supposed to, you are their constituents. Anything you need in your neighborhood, you're supposed to go to your proper representative in your neighborhood. So what I'm trying to say is they making those people try to stand up now. They pulling their coat chain. They pulling their chains. Look, this is what y'all are supposed to be doing. Y'all say y'all are servants, public servants. Y'all got to clean your act up. So, like I said, I was seeing some young brothers, and they always talk about how brothers are not intelligent. They showed some brothers on TV yesterday. I'm going to shut up on my prayer, too. But I like how these brothers was on the television, and they made an example with some young brothers. The so-called the Captain Ron Johnson and Don Lemon, or Lyman, whatever his name is. They went out, and they were speaking to like five brothers that were sitting on the corner, and they was talking to them, asking them, when the police come through, how they usually react to them. They said, as soon as they pull up on us, they already assume that we have done something wrong. And he gave an example that he was sitting one day, the guy had just came out of his house, and he seen a white police pass. And he said, I know he was going to turn around. So he came back and asked him, hey, was you over there 3 minutes ago over there smoking weed on the next street? And he's like, no, I just came out of my house. And then another instance, his brother was told him, he said, man, how when the police come to us, how they come to us is how we react. So he said, when they jump out the car and act hostile towards us, we act back hostile towards them. So he said they don't get out. He said, man, like, it was like if the officer see me with my pants sagging. He don't say like, hey, young man, look, pull your pants up. He said, if he came to me in a nice professional way, hey, pull your pants up. I would have no problems. Yes, sir, officer. And pull his pants up. He said, but they get out. Yeah, pull your goddamn pants up, you know, in this way. So he act hostile towards them. That's what anybody of us. We get in defensive mode. If somebody come to you in a hostile mode, what do? You go in that defensive mode kick in, that defensive mechanism kick in, and you act that way towards them. So that's why they were talking about now, like, they have to get a whole bunch of different training going on. So y'all going to start seeing now, since Ferguson, this example of what those young people and those people out there doing in Ferguson is a big campaign that's going through the nation. And on, let me see, this the 3rd of this month, they're getting ready to have a protest here in Memphis because a lot of our brothers and sisters who've been killed in Memphis. And Brother Sunray will be there, and I will have my camera in hand and shit, let y'all see what's going on in Memphis because everybody is trying to stand up. And I will be out there, and I will be doing interviews, conducting stuff, and talking about Memphis and what's going on in Memphis, too. It's time for all of us to stand up. Put your goddamn ego aside. Excuse me, elders. Put your ego aside. Put your jealousy aside because that's our young brothers. Our young sisters now, man, they going after our sisters, y'all. They ain't just going after you, black man, no more. They going after your sisters now. They beating your sisters down. Yeah, yeah. They acting like pimps, like the movie Ramrod. They going after your sisters, man. This is it's an all-out war out here. So we got to set aside our petty differences. I don't care if you don't like me for whatever reason. Put that aside. We got some work to do. Because like Mama Pearl had this thing, she said, our children are the future. That's me. I remember Whitney Houston did that. Our children are the future. So what are we going to be what are we teaching our children so they can lead us to the future? That's what we need to be realizing. What are we teaching our children? Are we teaching our children to be passive? Because I've been hearing a lot of that stuff too. Don't stand up. Don't stand up for what you believe in. Just lay down. Okay. I ain't teaching my children that. Yeah, I'm sorry, Mama Pearl. Go ahead.
No, my brother, I love it. You know, I mean, you're saying everything, you know, that is, you know, absolute. You know, it's all right and exact. The only thing I can add to that, you know, hey, like universal law, with every action is a reaction. So KKK, cracker killer cop, are putting on a different face now, I guess, for those who... They know how to stroke it so they can stay asleep and stay calm. They know how to keep them docile because, you know, they got so many of us on this kind of docile medication now. So they know exactly how to stroke it. It's still all an illusion. But while they're, now going through the act of learning some other things about how to communicate and get along and be better public services, we had better start doing the same thing, getting our children together, galvanizing our children, because if we can't, first of all, we can't protect our children, we aren't going to have them to be the future any darn way. You know, so we have to protect them and teach them how to protect themselves. So that when they do see the police come, there are certain behaviors and certain things. That's why I keep talking about the codes and the ordinances. There are certain words that you can say to a police and they will go away. No matter how you look or what you've done, they will go away. White people do it all the time. We got to know how to play the game. Just like Monopoly. These devils developed that game from life. It's life. But we get into play. I've seen people want to fight playing Monopoly. You took my land. Oh, that's my hotel. You owe me this and this and this. Play stuff. But I realize the same darn thing is happening, you know, in life. And truly, there are certain codes and key words that you can say, and they will go away, and they'll leave you alone. When they recognize who you are, once they know that you recognize who you are. So we have to go big in us. We have to go inside too and start doing some shutting our mouths, putting our egos aside, and start learning from the elders who already know. You know, I said we got all these daggone scholars out here, Wood, who has read just about every book under the sun. Too damn busy reading them to live, but yet they know every daggone thing. But we have elders who are here, the damn tree. How the hell are you going to know more than the tree? And you're going to disrespect the tree. My thing, Brother Son, is that with some of our young male child and some of our adult brothers, once I say to you or any woman say to you, I'm a mother, that should be it. Much respect. That should be it. But if you say, I'm a mother, I have three grown successful children, and I have three brilliantly beautiful grandchildren, you still going to come show your ass? You got no respect? You think that you know more than me? It will be impossible. There's nothing that I can give you out of my bag of jewels that will help you along your journey, because it is a journey. That's impossible. Like we have Barbara here, that's the tree. One of my biggest aims that I've been trying to do, want to do, and it's going to happen because I've met so many Barbaras and so many Umas. The will. You know what really, I'm standing up. Like I said, I'm standing, you know, and I'm walking on this one. What really gets me, son, of everything, my brother Sunray, is that we have these young, melanated black fools have the audacity to twist their tongues to disrespect the freedom fighters and the revolutionaries.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like crazy to me. That reminds me of a joke that my brother Charles, you know, God bless his soul, may he rest in peace, and I know he is with the ancestors. He used to tell us a joke about a monkey and an alligator, right? A monkey and a crocodile. The monkey wanted to go across the river, but didn't know how to swim and was afraid to get in the river because he knew the crocodile was going to eat him. The crocodile, you know, like, oh, come on, monk, man, you know I ain't going to bother you. Just hop on my back, you know? I mean, it's cool. I take you. I'm going across anyway. So the monk said, you sure, croc? Oh, monk, come on, man, you know I ain't going to do you like that. Come on, I'm going across anyway. Just jump on my back. Monkey had to go across while his bananas was over there, and he was hungry. So he jumped at the crocodile back, and they were prospering, and the monkey was like, croc, well, this water smells bad. There's some bad smelling water right here. Yeah, monk, I hear what you're saying. I know what you're saying. By the time he got midway, the croc did that death twist, cheep, started eating that, want to grab that monkey before it left, though. You know, the monkey was like, man, croc, I thought you said you weren't going to do this to me. Hey, I mean, that's what I am, a crocodile. You know, that's what I do. And that's what they do. You know, and we have to learn to adopt ourselves. We, you know, like I say, you know, the we, not the I. Because, you know, I got it. I tell you I can make it. I swear I can. But I want us to do it. We got to do it. Because, see, I can say I got it. Because I am aware enough to know the I am that reside within me. And I know that I am is imprisoned within me. And once you release me from this here prison, and I'm in a conscious, aware state of mind, because my mind is not even on my body anywhere, you know, so I have to catch up to my mind. Hey, baby, it's on, because I won't forget. Just like a lot of our elders have not forgotten, and like a lot of our ancestors have not forgotten. And, you know, and another thing, son, that trips me out, I mean, it's truly, again, so many intellectual people, and I'm just like, oh, my God, I can't get them to see it. I respect that. You know, you calling on your ancestors, and you giving you know, all props to your ancestors. You do. You know, I mean, recognize your ancestors. Great. Great. And you say you know that your ancestors are now in the spirit. They're up in the whirlwind. Great. Great. Now, who's protecting your ancestors while they're up there? You're not giving all praises to the Most High. I know that my ancestors can't make a move without the permissions of the Most High. You know, again, so that's in our perception. And your mind is your only currency. You know, and you have to have that spirit and mind makes currency. You know, and that's what I said, you know, our ancestors were able to come together collectively to manifest themselves into a ship. Wow. Yeah, just, you know, you're absolutely right about what's going on in Ferguson and how they are the show me state and the state to be reckoned with. You know, and these people have the audacity to come out in the universe and twist their tongues. They're stupid, you know, while they're fighting back. How stupid. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, and what's going to happen? They don't know how the universe works. They keep forgetting about karma. Somebody going to bust their damn door and blow away one of their children and they see they lay their ass down and say, I give up, don't shoot. They're going to realize, they're going to eat them damn words because your words don't come back void, all right? And I'm aware enough to know that. That's crazy. Well, that's your first principle. Is defending yourself from the lowest level of dimension, first, second, and we're the third, and then there's the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, the seventh, the eighth, the ninth. But we can't give, we keep reverting back to the second. You know, my thing is, if we we're giving dominion only meaning that we are on the top of the food chain here, at least, you know, that's what we've always perceived to be, you know, because we have a consciousness and we can manipulate the world of the second dimension, you know, all of the animals, every last one, the bugs, we can manipulate their world, you know, and then we can manipulate the world of the first dimension, you know, the trees, the rocks, you know, things like that, because everything has a consciousness. But we can go in there, we can move shit around, you know, manipulate it. But we don't realize that there's someone or there's a level of consciousness and awareness that above us who is manipulating our world. Because we're so busy into the I. And you, when you come together, you know, truly wanting to come together, putting the ego aside, that's power. And that's what I'm saying, that's one of the great things about being labeled as black. Black is power. No matter, and everybody say it in every nation, no matter where you go, get a bunch of black people together, and oh my goodness, the heat. That's power. Every power source emits heat. We have to get on it, my brothers and my sisters and my babies. You cannot continue to walk around in this blind state thinking that you got here all by yourself and that the spirit of your ancestors is not traveling in the blood or your DNA, because the spirit travels through the blood and it moves forward. Now, if you get your mind to catch up with your behind, you will certainly get that third eye single. That's your spiritual eye from your spiritual body. See, another thing that, you know, we haven't been taught, you know, the ministers and preachers and all that, they don't teach you, you know, that when you came into existence, when you came into this physical world, you didn't come with just one body. You have five bodies. And that's where they get the misinterpretation of the five senses, because you only have one sense. Not the five, all right? But you came into existence with five bodies. You have your physical body, your spiritual body, your emotional body, your etheric body, and your soul. All right? That's five bodies. Two of your bodies, one, two, has a consciousness. And one has the higher and the higher, highest consciousness. Can you see it?
Go ahead.
I'm going to rest for the time. Come on, jump in, piggyback.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah. And so now I just talk about something I experienced today. A lot of our people, here's what we got to look at our people. Man, some of our people are borderline. We're borderline. What I'm talking about borderline is we talk about how we need to straighten up our community and straighten out what's wrong with us, and then at the same time, we don't want to offend white folks. Let me say it again, y'all. We talk about how we need to clean up our community and let's come and unite together, but then again, we don't want to offend white folks. Reen, I'm saying what I'm saying is because earlier I had a conversation. My brother was telling me all about, we need to come together and do this in our community. Because he asked about the Ferguson thing. And he said, we need to come together and straighten out our situation and this and that. And I was fine with that. Cool. I agree with that. But then he started talking about, and then we need to also include white people in it. I said, oh, stop right there. Stop. How are we going to include white people in our stuff? I said, we can't include nobody in our business if we ain't got our stuff together. Now, see, we can't do it without having some outside help. I said, see, that's the problem why we hadn't came together, because we always want to get somebody else to come in our mess. I said, I ain't going to bring nobody, my neighbor, into my house. And me and my wife and my children, all of us, we can't get along. Here I come bringing my neighbor in there who don't even look like us, maybe Arab or something, talking about trying to straighten out my mess in my own house. They can't have them, Calvin. Let me straighten out our problem, internal problems with each other. And it was the same thing he was basically talking about, and he was banging down on our people bad. So it was like... And I know they talk about, I heard some brother talk about racism, white supremacy. And they were saying even in racism, white supremacy, even with that, it doesn't necessarily mean has a color to it. Because they were saying you can have a so-called black person and be a part of racism, ooh, white supremacy. So, and I was thinking, and the whole time he was talking, he like, see, you got two types of people. You got the nigger and you got the blacks. And the whole time he so-called wanted to talk about we need to come together as a people, he was beating down on our people. The niggas don't want to work. They want to come on here and you go to work and they want to wait. You go to work. They on Section 8. You going to work. Then they come breaking your house and steal all your stuff. I mean, he just going in. I'm like, damn it. I'm looking at him and I said, damn, he sound like a damn Klansman to me. But the whole time he told it. I said, well, brother, you got to understand. I said, we've been here. We went through, we was already here, but we went through a thing for so-called, they said, 400-some-odd years. I said, we the only people on this side of the continent that went through what we went through. Nobody else been through what we've been through on this continent. I said, so there's a lot that has to play into why we act like we want to. Study the psyche while we do it. And I just didn't want to go out and say, y'all understand racism, white supremacy, because I already know the guys I was talking to, it would shut them down. Because when I did get into it, it did. I don't believe that, you know. But I told y'all have to understand. It's like, and I asked them, who's running this? Because I know they talk about like the boule. Y'all know they said the word boule mean advisor to the king, the Greek word advisor to the king. So when I asked the question, and they talk about the black boule, you know, the Jesse Jacksons, the Al Sharptons, those people like that, that we look at some of our black people that we put on pedestals, that they call the black boule, who's the talented tenth, you know, the tenth of our people who disenfranchise our people. But anyway, they call them the black boule. And the boule, once again, y'all said, means advisor to the king. Now, I asked this question. Now, if they advisors to the king, first of all, whose kingdom is it? And who's the king? that they're advising to. So when I asked you to talk about talking to our brother, and I said, y'all got to understand, is this still not America? Was this when the Europeans came over here, then they colonized, or they so-called colonized, or did they take over something from a people that was a native that was already over here? They stole the land. They did trickery. They killed them. They robbed. They raped the people that was over here, so they took it. And look at the system that's been set up. I asked them, is this still not America? Is this still not the same America? Yeah, y'all might say a few things have changed. But who's still in this so-called, have this system ever changed? Now, the Bible says this part about here in the Bible. It's in the book of Revelation. It says there should be a new heaven and a new heaven and a new earth come down. So since that time that the Europeans came over here and took this land from the natives that was over here, and I said took it, y'all. I didn't say they bought it. They played poker and the native lost it. They took it. So have there been a new heaven and an earth came since that time? No, it's not. It's still the same goddamn racist America. If it's not, we wouldn't still be seeing Klans running around here marching today. It's making it hard for blacks to get anything. And I was talking to our brother also, and I said, we were talking about the mom and pop stores in our community. And I was talking about how we don't have all of that stuff in our community more and more. Everybody's in our community that have the Arabs got all the stores, the Hindus, they got the Asians in our community. Where's all of our stuff?
How the heck did that happen?
That's what I asked them. You know what they told me, sister? They said it was the niggas who was stealing, breaking in our stuff, breaking in the black people mom and pop stores and all of them, and made them move out of the communities. And that's why we don't have this no more. That's what I was told by a so-called brother today.
Well, you know what? Just like we see in now, like I said, Ferguson is the show me state. We see these so-called KKK cracker cop killers mixed up in with the mob, agitating with the hankies over there, bandanas over their face, and their scullies on, trying to act like they one of the niggas who getting down. They just agitating. So they did the same thing then, they're doing it now, and they're making it look like, you know, it's all us. We have to realize again about this here COINTELPRO. People don't want to hear about Willie Lynch, and they don't want to hear about COINTELPRO. It's the same damn thing. These people have been manipulating us forever. Like I said, you know, our honorable still existing, you know, Baba, Dr. Muhammad Maxwell, you know, Maxwell Stanford, you know, Stanford, you know, still here in his book. You know, let me go and give you guys that. Let me give you this information so y'all can go and get this book. You have to order it online somewhere right now, somewhere. But you have got to. This is the book to have, the history book to have. Muhammad Ahmad. Sorry, Barbara, I get all excited. You know, I was just speaking too fast. Muhammad Ahmad, Maxwell Stanford Jr. And the title of the book is We Will Return in the World Then. Yes, black radical organizations in 1960s and 1975. And I have so many fools. You know, I know, you know, that's not a word that you're supposed to use loosely, but it fits. So many fools come to me, yeah, y'all are radical black people, blah, 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 blah. Now you say that shit. Now you can say that. That's what's so funny. If it wasn't for the 60s and the 70s, you wouldn't be able to talk the stuff you're talking. Because you thinking that, you know, in all praises and may he rest in peace to, regardless of what people may think our honorable brother Martin Luther King Jr., if you think that his perception and concept of, you know, put your hands behind your back and let the dogs come and bite our sister's breast off, and let him come and bite the man's groin off, and let's go to jail and get beaten, let the water, you know, just them turn the holes on us, because, you know, our sister Rosa Parks got tired like me, goddamn, like I'm telling y'all, I'm getting tired. I am tired. You ain't sure. Rosa Parks ain't got nothing on the kind of energy that I'm about to let loose. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, you think that, you know, Martin Luther King all of a sudden made these devils, okay, change their nature and say, oh, man, we're tired of, you know, sticking the dogs on them niggas, you know, and turning the water hose and, you know, beating the shit out of them. We're just tired of that, man. Let's just give them some space. You actually think that's what happened. And you're trying to get my people to think that's what's going to happen now. It is a time, I do believe, that we can handle this thing, you know, without a lot of bloodshed, you know, because it's not about, you know, blood and bone. It's about evil principalities and wickedness in high places. And we all know the principality is the government. And we do have one that is righteous, which I represent. That is the Provisional Government for the Republic of New Africa here in the northern part of the United States, the world. But we also have our mother, the UNIAACL, the Universal Negro Improvement Association and African Community League, which is the worldwide government. It's all about the principalities. And it's telling us, our ancestors left these instructions for us to know that we are supposed to govern ourselves as a people. How is it that we're going to let our enemy, who is below us, because they flipped us a Mickey and put our asses to sleep, rule over us? That did not compute. And then they changed the words, and people ran out and got all this knowledge. So now they can't figure out what the hell is really the truth. What is left? Because left ain't really left because, you know, it's the perpendicular about this and this. You know, they did everything except for sitting there behind down, going out in nature and studying and learning the doggone self. When our elders and our ancestors left instructions for you to learn thyself first. Is we are just a hard-headed bunch of knuckleheads right now. And I guess that's the effect, you know, after any drug or intoxication or inducement, you know, you're still a little woozy. But our babies ain't woozy. And you see they fighting back. And if our babies are fighting back because that's the first principle is to defend yourself, what the hell is wrong with you? Brother Son, is that picture up with all the babies, all those beautiful black babies?
You know what, Mover? It wouldn't let me get it. They wouldn't let me get it. I tried to email it to myself, and I've been searching and searching all since yesterday to try to do it. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't even let me email it to myself. Yeah.
Too much.
I tried to email it to myself like over 10 times. I couldn't do it. Different
do
email.
A screenshot. Can you do a screenshot? That's how I got it.
Yeah, I did. I did a screenshot and I downloaded to my phone and emailed it to myself, but it won't show. I sent it to three of my email address and it won't show up in my email. So yeah, I'm sorry. I tried to even Google search it, but I couldn't find it.
That's too much power, man. That's power. Right. You should see all these beautiful, beautiful little black heads, beautiful babies. And you mean to tell me that, okay, I'm going to forget about all of mine, which is all I know. I'm a woman. All I do is produce black babies. That's all I can do.
Mm.
You know, that's all I can do. So you're going to tell me that now I'm going to consider the white baby. But, you know, and then people say, well, you know, we have some white people who are nice and, you know, they helped us and all that. True. Yeah. And they know that they are supposed to. That's how they repent. They're supposed to help. Everything that their ancestors and their forefathers have done. The white people, the northern ancestors right now today, all of them are not responsible for what their foreparents and their ancestors have done because they did it before they did. But their ancestors have prepared for at least four generations forward for their descendants to live off the blood, the sweat, and the tears of my ancestors. So they're still enjoying the fruit from the strange fruit. See what I'm saying? So they have to repent, and they have to. The only way they can wipe that blood off of them is they have to help us. out. They have to actually, they have to become our servants. They have to become our slaves. That's the only way they're going to repent, because they are guilty, even though they're not responsible. And that's a fact, and they know it. But we can't take the eyes off of us, saving ourselves, because that's a foolish thing to do. How can you? Now, my thing is this, truly, you know, and I'm not arguing anybody over it. Like I say, if you see that tree, and I'm talking about the same fruit rotting, and you're not a part of that tree, you're not of that tree, I ain't talking to you. You don't exist to me. You know what I'm saying? Because all I see is my baby, my brothers, my sisters, who are scattered, but they are survivors, and they're strong. And they'll be even stronger when we all come together. And if we can't all come together, let the majority say so. The Provisional Government for the Republic of New Africa, check it out. That's www.tg-rna.com. It is our election time right now. We have open elections. We're looking for all candidates as president, vice president, representatives, judges. You know, so if you truly have been down with the new African independent movement or any type of movement, you know, working with our people, and you can prove it some kind of a way, snapshot picture, you know, some kind of a way, please come on and register and be a part. You never know, because we need all kinds. We need, first of all, our babies, our people to know that you have a choice. Right now, our president is our awesome brother, Alvin Brown. You heard him speak, you know, last time when he came through. Hopefully he'll come through again this evening. You know, we have choices, real choices right here, right now. The TGRNA is 49 years old. Our ancestors and our elders who are still existing right here, right now. One of my brothers, oh, Lord, Jesus, thank you. I'm so glad I got to meet some wonderful people. Is our brother Herman Ferguson. Oh, man, and they're still here, people. They're still here, all of my warriors. They're still here, all of my gangbangers. You know, there's nothing wrong with you surviving. How do you think these corporate Americans and these Europeans and these Britons got to rule the United States for the same crime, more heinous and 1,000 times worse than you have done? Nothing they've done has been legal to get them to where they are. You know that. And like I said before, how is it that every crime from stepping on a crack to bombing and robbing a bank is a crime against commerce? What kind of sense is that? Don't compute. Let's start thinking. Let's start learning. Please, let's get with our elders and sit at that tree at the foot and learn, because, you know, they have learned so much. They need to pass the baton along. You know, they need to pass it along. It doesn't make no sense to walk through life, you know, step through all kinds of scorpions and snakes and alligators and slayed all kinds of goddamn dragons and all this shit. You got the know-how, but you can't share it and you can't leave it with anyone. Come on, y'all. We got to get with it. We got to get with it. Brother Son, take it again, because I'm getting emotional right here.
No problem. Bring it on the fire.
My emotional body, y'all. My emotional body doing that.
Yeah, bring it on the fire. I think we got our brother Anthony want to get in the house and speak to you. Remember prayer. Peace to you, brother Anthony.
Yeah. Peace to the family. Strange Fruit in the house. Mama Pearl, brother Son. Yeah, I want to have that on her, but then she'll just mute me after that. I want her to just reiterate. She said something that was so profound and something that I have always said, and I still stand by, when white folks do something for you and give you something, like she said, I'm just putting in my words, they ain't doing nothing but giving you what they have benefits off of your people. And I believe it was in the Message to the Black Man, and then they had a movie is called Paris Trout. Look at that movie, Paris Trout. And he shows you the mentality of what the white man thinks when he gives you something. I don't know if people seen that movie. It had, forget the white boy name, Dennis Hopper. He played in it, and he killed the guy over the car or whatever. But they can give you stuff because they're privy to, like she said, the inheritance that belonged to you. But we get it twisted as saying, oh, that's a good white man. See, he did this. That's a good white woman. She did this. She did that. But see, our women, like Mama Pearl, and our older women, and if you go back and look at some of the nanny movie stuff, they knew that whatever they were giving them, they were full of shit. And they knew, whatever you give me, you owe this to me. And they carried that attitude. But black men lost that. That's why you have the situation with black men now who is so attached to their slave master as far as when it comes to on the level of football, basketball, acting. They can't break the spell. But the black woman, she can break that spell, especially the older ones. Now you got the newer ones, they, you know, they have laid down and became the bed wenches due to, you know, all the little political and sociological shit that took place. I ain't going to go into. But Mama Pearl made a good point. What they do for you, you're supposed to always look at it as you owe me this. This is my shit. And anything you take from them, know that, that it belongs to your inheritance. So I'm going to leave it there. Leave it there at that point, unless Mama Pearl, you want to interrate or ask me a question or two, or Sunray, you want to ask me a question or two. If not, then, you know, I just want to commend you for making that point, and it's coming from a feminine position that I've been trying to tell people, just because a white person do something for you, don't categorize him as your friend. He a good person. He ain't doing nothing for giving you back what belonged to you. And he ain't doing nothing for trying to find his place and good faith of his so-called white heaven he believe he going to go to at the end of his life cycle. So especially when you get old white men, and see, that's where black men get it twisted. I got this. You go buy a car from a black person. They always come up, I got this from this old white man. You ain't get that shit from the old white man. But they always tell you that because they think your psyche is programmed to think this white man or this old white man got something better than what you can offer them. And that's a problem we have in economics, too. If we want to talk about economics, we always want to talk about, like they say, the situation of my glass of water is cold, but this white man's glass is more colder because he's white. We do that with everything we do. This old white man, we always got to talk about some old white man did something for us. You know what I'm saying? Have you ever heard that saying? Anytime you from somebody and it may look nice or it may be appealing, and you say, yeah, the first thing I think about, they say, yeah, this old white man owned that. Like, because he owned it, I'm supposed to buy it from him. You see what I'm saying? That's a fucked up concept that we have, and that's spread it across the country, because I've been in different places, and you'll hear people say, yeah, this old white man had this. What old white man? Show me that, my old white man. Mm-hmm. And why did he give to you? Now I can go and show you where Showtime destroyed all that with the movie Paris Trout. That's why I want people to go and look at the movie Paris Trout. He was an old white man, gave a black, knew it was screwed up, and killed his sister about the car. And went and destroyed the whole town to the point all the white people just said, hey, we're going to turn on it for the nigga. That was the moral of the story, but I ain't going to go into the detail, but it's a movie called Paris Trout. You can pull it up on YouTube and look at it. And it'll destroy that concept of, oh, old white man did something for me.
Go ahead, brother. Go ahead. Go ahead, old soul. Go ahead. That's what it's all about. And that's why I am the ancient newcomer. You know?
Coming out, getting dressed. I heard that. I said, that's the shit. I just wanted to tell you. You right on point and target with that. Because we love to find a white man. Out of all what happens to us, we have to dig for one white folk. To say, look at him, he's not like that. And that white man is your white Jesus. Like I was saying last on my show, on the uncut part, when I was saying that little white man still swimming in them. They got to manifest it. And some white folk that come and do one, he can give them an ice cream cone. They say, see, that white man gave me an ice cream cone. But see, he represent white Jesus psychologically. Like Summary was saying, when you start looking psychologically at shit, it ain't just about he just some good white man or good white woman. That's the symbolic of Jesus still living in you that they gave you. I'm not talking about the metaphysical aspect of Jesus. I'm talking about that white Jesus that hang on granny's wall. That's who that is in your mind. And you'll start forgiving other white folks for what they done to transgress against you.
Because they know they got it coming. They know it. That's what I'm saying.
They go
find a decent black person to help. They know they got to help.
Yeah, they're going to always do it. But you don't understand where they coming from when they helping you. Some
That's
of them
right.
come from the order. They know about charity. Some of them come from the Shriner order, so they know who you are.
That's right.
And they try to get in good faith to get into the heaven in which they believe in. So they'll help you. Black people don't understand because they don't want to study none of this.
Yeah, and you know what? The deepest thing about it, my brother, and this is alchemy. The alchemy is, you know, knowing what something isn't before you can determine what it is, right? You know, but when we talk about alchemy, they want to talk about we voodoo, whatever. But even in the Bible, Jesus talked about alchemy, and Abraham certainly did lift that staff. And Jesus said, if you lift me up, I'll lift you up to the heavens of my Father. So that's all alchemy. So these devils know what they're doing, and because they are aware. See, that the power is in awareness. That's why knowledge is power. They are aware while they're doing it. But we're just doing it off an emotional thing. It's all about awareness that's going to get you and propel you, give you that extra spin. You know what I'm saying? So, but I'm glad you touched on that.
And when you started your show, you was talking about the ego. The ignorance. Okay, you have the first level is ignorance. And when you attack ignorance with fact and truth, or you attack ignorance questioning what it is they thinking, it become an emotional state. From that emotional state, it become an ego, which is ego really don't exist. It's just another higher level of ignorance that they transcend to defend what it is they believe and don't know, but they believe it so much. And they've compiled so much stuff to back that belief, and they have been able to maybe go in other places and push that belief and get favorable results. So when you come and hit it, they become emotional, and they want to become combative.
That's right. And again, brother, let me just jump in real quick, and I'm going to let you have it because I love what you're saying. But on that word belief, see, then they know, and that's why they created that word belief, because they know that automatically that's that spell. You're going to accept whatever the fuck I say as true. So that's your belief, and they know it. Again, that's that higher alchemy, that higher knowledge that they are aware of, that we should be aware of, all of us, but we don't think like that. But go ahead, I'm listening, my brother.
So down. They'll take that and transform that into anger. And they don't realize that once they transform that into anger, that become a health situation. It become a psychological and it becomes a physical breakdown of them health-wise because anger attacks the kidneys, the liver, and things of that nature. This is why they get sick. They become parasitic. Then when people are around them sucking up that shit, they become parasitic too. They passing that sick virus from themselves to the next person, and so on and so on. But when you hit them with that sword of truth and cut their head off, you see what I'm saying?
I love it. Go ahead, go.
And then they want to come and say, why you do that to me? Are you tripping? They want to make up reasons of you doing something wrong, but all you doing is cutting that head of ignorance of them. so that they can see that, yes, the information you have, here's the truth in it. And your truth and my truth can be different, and they will be different. You see what I'm saying? And we'll weigh them. We'll put them on the table and weigh them. Because
thank you.
The law of hate is going to balance that shit.
That's
it's
right.
Going to show who is, and it ain't about, and see, I hate using the word right and wrong. And it ain't going to be about right or wrong. It's going to be
right.
About what's back in this paradigm that we exist in there now.
Mm.
Do that whole truth now, because your truth could be a truth in another reality. So
mm-hmm.
We ain't going to think that what you know and what you drop is incorrect.
That's what I'm saying. You have to recognize who you are with. If you're not from this damn tree, this ain't for you.
Exactly.
It ain't going to mix.
Exactly. It ain't going to mix. But when you got total consciousness and awareness, then you can vibrate on different realities.
That's
and
right.
Vibrating on those different realities going to link up and hook up. All the rest of these people, they just going to fall by the wayside or just be there. Waiting to
that's
be
right.
Eaten, waiting to be slaves, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
Some people going to have to be subservient because they
that's
ain't
right.
Ready to raise up. And you must be a servant before you can be a master or
that's
a ruler.
Right.
You got
right.
To know how to serve because at the end of the day, to be a master is to serve anyway. The more you serve the people, the more you become a master.
Say it again. Say it again. People walk around because they think they got a title, but I'm such and such and such. And what are you doing? How are you helping me? Then this is what I need you to do for me, such and such and such. You know what I'm saying? It's not, then stop that because you are. And I even talk about that in Revelation when that big black brother came down from heaven and he says, no, I am your servant brother. Mm, come on, speak it.
There you go. And that's what I'm saying. The more you serve, the more you become a master. That's why they talk about the drunken master. They looked at him as nothing. And he came that way to reach them and serve them, be ridiculed, humiliated. But at the end of the day, he taught them, he gave them a jewel. A jewel beyond what they looked up to say, hey, this motherfucker sit on his throne. He must know it all. But no, you chose to serve this person because you thought he had all the knowledge. You thought he had all the power. But he was just utilizing your power against you. And that's what the beast do. And when the beast go too far, in order to make his karma right within the universe, like you said, because he studied the alchemy. He give you some. He do a good deed for you. He show you some form of charity. And your ass fall right back in line. So you made a contract spiritually with him. Be a slave. See, that's what, I'm going to drop that shit tomorrow. You done inspired me. But
woo, that's the spirit, baby. Don't give it to me. All praises to the Most High. The devil's a liar. Yes, yes. Come on.
Just, you want to come on? We're going to deal with spiritual contracts tomorrow.
Come on. Okay, tomorrow I'm there. Text me all that. You know, because,
I'm going to press the phone and I'm just going to interview you. And I'll go in with you, but you're going to be my guest tomorrow. I want you to deal with spiritual contracts.
Oh my goodness! Okay, all right.
Okay.
Well, my number one seed might join us. You know what I'm saying? Because people
yeah.
Want to see proof. You know what I'm saying? Get the shit out of here.
Wait. I got a call. I'm gonna text him tonight.
All
so
right.
Together, we're gonna deal with spiritual contracts tomorrow.
I love it.
That's my Bible concordance. There, Sunray is my Bible concordance.
That's what I said about my brother, boy. I said, you know, the sun shining, and the people don't even know it. The people just so used to the sun shining, they take it for granted. They don't know that once that sun stops shining, their ass is in the dark. The sun
yeah.
Be shining, and they don't even know it.
So we got my brother. We gonna have the light. Yeah, he's shy. Sunray just shy.
I'm just doing my job. Hey, Brother Ant, one more time. What was the name of that movie? What was the name of that movie on YouTube?
That movie is, it's called Paris Trout.
Paris Trout.
Yeah. Look that. It's on YouTube. I think because I've been telling people, man, you got to watch it. It's based in the South, and it go back in time, you know, where the racial, they had the black people live. I think it was based in Louisiana or somewhere. But, yeah, Paris Trout, it was a made-for-Showtime movie back in the day. I was like 14 when I seen that movie. That's how old it is.
Hmm. And well, was another phenomenal story is Black Wall Street. They don't know that all began off of a daggone lie. Some white woman got turned on by the black woman. Black man, I guess, he tried to resist it in the elevator. She screamed rape, you know, and then I guess that they had it planned all the time.
Watch on that. The best one to watch on it, and if you're doing education, they will give you the full one. You can reach out to the brother. He gives his information. It's called Before They Die. It's called Before They Die. It's on YouTube.
Mm.
That brother came on a blog talk show out of Memphis. And it's eight. He was on Memphis, and he did a two-part thing on it. And he gives out a learning kit for a donation, or if you're a teacher, he gives it to you free. And he made the movie. It's called Before They Die. So look up Before They Die and read his transcript, and he'll give you all that information. And then go to the YouTube and watch that one he put together. And he got brothers and sisters. But the reason he did it Before They Die, he got all the people that was from there that's 100 years old and 90 years old, and they're telling the story. These are the survivors of that. And they tell the story. And then break it down. And he is the top documentator of Black Wall Street, this brother here. I forget his name.
Wow.
But
he
made this is called Before They Die. And you can watch it on YouTube.
Man, you got all these spirits rising up in me. Like I said, our brother Muhammad Ahmed Maxwell Stanford Jr., we will return in the whirlwind. Black Radical Organizations, 1960 to 1975. Okay. Introduction by John Bracey and Charles H. Kerr, K-E-R-R, Publishing Company. And let me just, you know, find this real quick to tell you what our brother said, you know, way back then. And this is how awesome this brother is, this barber, this awesome, phenomenal man. And he has a picture on the front of the cover, a picture of him, you know, being pulled into the police car, face all bloody and beaten up by these, you know, KKK cracker killer cops. You know, so he's one of our brothers, I'm saying, they're still here. So these people who be talking all that shit, they just don't know what they be saying, you know, but that's all right. We give them all props. Our brother said the FBI ghetto informant program began in 1967 and had some 7,402 informants by September of 1972. Now, is that continuing up to now, to 2004? That's like, I mean, really seriously looking at it, you know, in the multiplication of things, damn, it's like when you're walking amongst your people trying to get them back righteous and wake them up, if you walk among 10 people, at least 7 of them MFers are, you know, traitors. How the hell can that be? Because they're different species of beings. Like I said, we have to recognize that we're not all from the same damn tree. You can't grow apples from an orange tree, and you can't grow oranges from a banana damn tree. So we have to recognize the tree from which we come. You know what I'm saying? The tree, the fruits don't fall far from the tree. That's all that ever meant. The fruits don't fall far from the tree. And this is all about the strange fruit rising.
Mm-hmm. And see, Mama Pearl, what I didn't know, I found out in the last couple, maybe a year or so ago, that's where the Gap Band from, and that's what the Gap Band stand for, the three districts of Black Wall Street that was burned down. And that song, I always thought it was a good damn party song. I did not know until recently that when they made the song You Dropped the Bomb on Me, they were talking
about
Black
Wall Street. That's right.
I say 2 years ago, to be exact. I found out. I said, what? And then I'm like, okay, yeah, you know, because I give everybody benefit of the doubt because I love information where it comes from. But then when I hear it in documentaries, they was like, yeah, it stands for Greenwood, Arlington, and the T, I keep forgetting. But that's what GAP band stands for. It's an acronym, not a name.
Absolutely. But see, yeah. Again, that's acronym. And if they were brilliant and genius enough to know the power of alchemy, that's alchemy at the finest. They knew what it wasn't, but they knew it was going to be powerful because the ones who knew it was going to ignite the spirit that everybody's going to get it. Just the
spirit,
which is what they wanted, the spirit.
Like, damn, for real? They like, yeah. Then I started seeing it come up more and more throughout the years. And they like, that's what these others did. I heard them on, I think it was Steve Harvey. And they said, I think on the Steve Harvey show when I was living in Atlanta. And I think they mentioned it there. And that's when I got it. I think that's when I first heard it. And they was explaining they came from there. And I'm like, okay. And, you know, I took it, boom, boom, boom. But then as you look into it, I'm like, okay, bam, these brothers are telling the truth.
I mean, wow. Hey, there's just so, and these brothers are still alive. Yeah, they're still here. That's what I'm saying. And maybe your elders are still here. Go ahead.
Yeah. I didn't mean to cut you out. Was this the president called from 912?
Uh-oh, I can't hear you.
Uh-oh, let me see. 1 minute, Aunt. Let me bring call in a minute. Yeah, was the president area code 912? We got, we're bringing the call in anyway. We've got a call in from area code 912. Peace to you.
Hotel, this is Messiah Rawls, who?
Peace to you.
Hotel, who? What up?
Yeah, what's going on, y'all? You know, I was just sitting and listening to the show, you know. And, when the brother was mentioning about the Gap Band, you know, he was talking about Greenwood, Archer, and Pine, because, you know, I had a lot of old school.
That's it. Write that down. Hold on. Greenwood, what now?
Greenwood, Archer, and Pine.
Archer, okay.
Archer, A-R-C-H-E-R, Archer.
Okay, gotcha. And Pine, thank you.
Yeah.
Love it. Gap.
Yeah.
I know that's right. Drop a bomb on you, God. Woo, go ahead, my brother, I'm listening.
Yeah, you know, I it was funny, just like you was mentioning, you know, because when the brother was telling me about it, you know, so I'm doing my research, and I was like, well, you know, them brothers wasn't around back then. But, I mean, they did it, like you say, they did it metaphysically, you know, into the, you know, back then at their present time, that, you know, to reinforce what was going on from the area, from where they from, you know. And they just did a song and made it real and relevant. And, I mean, it's still to this day. I mean, you still could use that as a teaching tool about Black Wall Street.
See, they knew the power of song, of words, of vibrations, of frequency. They knew all that. Now, check out some of the finest musicians ever, you know, is the Earth, Wind, and Fire. Check out some of their lyrics way back in the day. You know, you be like, you know, you thinking that you don't did all this studying, you don't follow something. You sit back and you listen to their shit, you like, dang. If I had to just listened and opened up to my brothers, because they put it out there, and their songs are still manifesting the same thing, which is, you know, spiritual contact. Go ahead now.
Oh, that's all. That's all I basically had to say. You know, I'm just enjoying the show, and I'm listening, you know.
Yes, sir. Bro, we're going to leave the mic open, too, brother.
All
okay.
Right, brother.
Yes, sir. Oh, yeah, you know what? See, that's amazing. Because I was talking about, y'all, see, I guess, like I said, it show you how everybody, the people who need to be linked up are linked up. Because I was talking, like I said, those brothers I was talking about earlier in the demonstration that I was talking about, I brought up Black Wall Street. We were talking about the Black Wall Street. I told y'all I have to go study Black Wall Street. And I was talking about how, and because somehow we was talking about how we had these things in our community, and it was how that people, they took it from them, what they did to destroy that. And we were going into that today. And these brothers are older than, both of these brothers were older than I. They were so-called elders, and they were older than I was. And I was like, I said, see, that's why we had to understand, y'all have to listen to the voices of the youth also. You know, just because you're younger, but you sometimes have to listen to the, to understand, that's what I was telling the brother, to understand what is going on with our youth, you have to sit down and ask your youth what's wrong with them. I told them, we got to quit preaching at them and ask them what's wrong with her. Because you go into them telling them what your problem is. No, you sit down and you ask them, what how do you see this? What you think is wrong with, you know, society today in your eyes? And then, you know, just quit always telling them, you know, what's wrong with them. Because that's what a lot of times, you know, we go into suit and ties and stuff. They don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear you going to them, you know, Reverend Pochop, to them, teaching them. They don't want to hear that because they don't want to hear none of that no damn more. Because one thing, like I said, they talk about how our youth, they're hostile. They're mad. They're angry. Yeah, they are. In some ways, I don't blame them because look at how they continue to see what happened to us. You know, and they read it, but they heard the same history, what happened to us through the civil rights movement. We got them dogs seeked on them and shit, water holes, sprayed with water hoses. And then when they seeing what's happening still continuing to be happening to us now, it's like, nah, we ain't going with that. Because I used to hear them. Now, if they wish to start slavery, them crackers going to have to kill me. I ain't going back into slavery. So it's just the same thing we seeing how like I said, once again, how they related to what's happening in Ferguson to back to the 60s. And one more time, that mindset said, we ain't going for that. They try to start this slavery if they want to. It's going to be a whole bunch of dead crackers. That's how you were saying that. So that's why they walk around in the street angry. Even though people be talking about, well, we got like all this black on black crime. And I'm sick of hearing this when we try to talk about when somebody else are killing our people. Then we want to like, well, look at all the black on black crime that's happening. We killing one another more than the police killing us. That really irks my god dog nerve. We understand it. I can tell them we understand it, but we gotta understand. Like I said, one more time. What's that, bro?
You club one. And you see that black motherfucker on there last night? I'm sorry, but you, man, you just touched the nerve with me.
On CNN.
Yeah, you hear him? I put him on the thing.
Yeah, I saw that fool, man.
And I hate every single. And you did you see? I put all them talk and that talk ass TI. That's who I want to get on. And then my aunt.
No, I didn't see that. I didn't see that.
Come on, and chase it. My aunt live around the corner from this bastard, and she wouldn't have put a flyer in his thing because you know she bring him out for the you know that little shit he say he can do for the kids. My aunt is a part of that down there. She 81 years old. And yeah, she live around the corner from T.I. He been down in Atlanta. And she went around there to let you get him a reminder. And I rode with her. And she like, you know this guy T.I.? I said, yeah, I know them. You know, she like, this way he is. She said, he going to come do this little event. And blah, 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 blah. Make a long story short. Nice place. And anyway, this bastard. And that's it. I don't know if you've seen it. I was going to put it on the thing. When I went in about these, now this was a blackie, so I can't get on the red niggas and the mulattoes on this one. Because you know how I do them. But, yeah, he was on CNN, and Don Lemons was talking about how the police pushed him or whatever. And he said, get out the way. Y'all know what these niggas going to do or something.
Hmm.
Yeah. You can go pull it up on any media outlet because, you know, it's Don Lemon, so they're going to have to. But he did. They had a town hall meeting yesterday, and they had all this black panel and this black bald-head punk going to say just what you said. Black-on-black crime is up 90%. And then I read this article, his, because, you know, they always attach when you, because I seen it through News 1, through the thing. I didn't see it on CNN. So they had an article or they journalism or they whack, you know, wore down journalism. And the niggas say the same thing you said. What about the black on black crime? What about the 95% of this? What about the C? What about, I'm like Dick Gregory. He said black on black crime is going to always be promoted because we the people of Target. But you got white-on-white crime. You got Italian-on-Italian crime. Russian-on-Russian crime. Nobody ever take that and put it in comparison on a whole scale and say doing more crime. You see what I'm saying? You got simple murders, and that's why I tell people, quit talking about my city is the murder capital of the world. Your city is not. Yeah. You didn't even come up with, you didn't even know the killings was going on like that. A white man put it in the paper and put your city there and said, these are the most dangerous cities. You don't even understand that's dealing with economics. When they say your city is the most dangerous, that means that they can go and kill off a whole bunch of people and say that you did it, and now we can move into a certain location and start development. That's a business statement, a corporate statement, and we're going to talk about that tomorrow when we deal with this spiritual contract. When you commit yourself to this ignorance.
Yeah, but like, yeah, but what they do, I think a lot of that is a cop out. I mean, we know that. We know that. And that's an issue. Like I said, we know this, and that's an issue that we have to deal with. And see, when we're talking about, like, when police killing us or whatever, okay, let's deal with that issue. Now, then on a sidebar, set up another date where we'll talk about us black-on-black crime or whatever. See, it's like, it's like when you're trying to come up with a solution for one problem, you take away from that and start talking about, well, we killing each other. Well, we ain't talking about that right today. That ain't what the issue at hand right now. Take that off the table. When they come up with budget cuts for certain things, and, you know, when in Congress or whatever, they don't start bringing up other issues like let's go to war with Iran and all that. They're going to talk about the damn budget issue. So like this, that's a scapegoat for certain people. You know what I'm saying, to try to use that because they don't really want to deal with the matters at hand. They always want to, and I think, and I'm going to say it too, hell. They are on the side really, of their goddamn enemy. You don't want to, that's why I said you on the fence. You talk about how you standing for your people, but then soon as somebody get on your master, yeah, I said your master, Master Mo's behind, here you go trying to take up a Master Mo. You on the damn fence. Either you gonna stand with us, just like all this time out, can black white folk join our organization? Hell to the goddamn no. Now ain't gonna join our goddamn organization. We don't need you in our organization. We, every time he joins something with us, he end up taking over it. If he even join a business with it, he gonna end up taking over the goddamn thing. Look at BET. We build it, like I said, we build up all of this damn stuff, and then we always give it over to the goddamn white people and think it's gonna make it better. Think it's gonna make it a little bit better. Well, if I let him come on in, if he sponsor it, it'll get that growth. No, he sponsor it because he's gonna take that damn thing over. That's what is gonna happen. So I think, like I said, one more time, we do that as a scapegoat. Stay on the goddamn issue. If you don't want to stay on the topic of the issue, don't even bring your ass to the table to sit down amongst us. Go sit in the goddamn car somewhere. Let us stay in the middle and meet, like Mama Pearl said. For us who really want to do this, meet us in the woods, goddamn it, where we going to talk. And that's plain and simple.
Right.
You damn cowards.
Shut on me.
What I saw interesting today, did anybody catch Talib Kweli when Don Lemon interviewed him today? You don't see it in there.
Nah. I seen the clip, but I didn't watch it. What happened with him, brother?
The brother came on, you know, Don Lemon interview, so he brought him on. So, you know, he was asking Talib Kweli about questions. So Talib was like, well, you know, the media is propagating a lot of things, and he says it's a lot of false media. So Don Lemon was like, well, you know, hold up. I felt that we have been doing, CNN has been doing a good job. And Talib was like, well, you know, CNN posted up that everything was peaceful to a water bottle was thrown. And he said, and I'm going to tell you, and Don Livingston was challenging him. He said, no, he said, what we have is a problem with white supremacy and what's going on and how people are running things, you know. So they was going at it back and forth. But at the end of the conversation, you know, they was able to, you know, smooth it out, you know. And I was glad for the brother Talib, but, you know, the brother was like, you know what, if you're not going to let me talk, I'm going to leave. So I was like, that's the first time I really see somebody that's like really standing up and really saying something. And then, you know, I like the key point he threw out there, white supremacy, to let everybody know what's really going on. And, you know, we just need more brothers that's really going to stand out. But you got everybody sitting there dancing and trying to be politically correct. I don't know if they don't want to hurt their constituents, you know. But, I mean, I don't care what you lose behind or what you got to say, man. You got to stand up and just let these people know what's really going on, especially if you got a media outlet. And I'm proud of Brother Talib Kweli today.
Oh, they don't want to get their paycheck cut. That's what it is. They don't want to get them their paychecks cut. That's why I said you on the fence. You want to talk black power amongst us. When you get amongst white power, oh, you going to shut your mouth. Oh, massa, don't cut my check. You know what I'm saying? That's you don't want to get that Don Sterling on your behind. That's what it is. That's all it is. It's, like I said, I'm glad the brothers spoke out. See, that's when I was talking to the brothers earlier, it was the same thing. They do not want to recognize racism, white supremacy. They never want to address those issues. I mean, you can move right next door to white people now. You know what I'm saying? Okay, cool. That don't mean they don't hate your ass. You know what I'm saying? You can do a lot of things. But like I said, that's what I was telling him with like businesses. They make it harder for you to even get a bit. Like if you did want to open a store, they're going to make it harder for you to get it. And the brothers are going to be, no, they don't. I said, well, goddamn it, how come then everybody else can come over here? They can bring an African, okay, from Sudan, bring him straight over here, get him a business with no taxes for I don't know how many months or whatever, damn near probably a year, Arab, same thing. But you've been here all your little damn life, and they're going to make it hard for you even to try to get a loan, and then when they do, they're going to charge the hell out of you. And so they don't want you to have none of this stuff. You know, the brother argued me, no, I can get it. Okay, yeah, you might get it, but they're going to charge the hell out of you more than they would anybody else, though. If they charge him, say, like, the rent, they might tell you a $1,500 a month. Might get to him like $300 or $400 a month. Yeah, okay, and the thing
coded.
About it. What did you say,
it's
Susie?
All coded. It's all coded. All coded.
We don't want to recognize
and they it. And they know, that's what I'm saying. They've been working all this alchemy on our behind and even take it even deep and dark, you know, like they said, because all things exist in darkness. That's just how powerful black is, you know, that these wicked, deceiving, twisted, beings. Diabolical beings. They know what they're doing to us. And even the idea of them having us docile, they are working their spell, okay, and they are gaining their power, and we are losing ours. Because they know, like I say, the first thing in alchemy is that you first have to know and accept what is not before you can determine and say what it is.
What it is, yep.
And Mama Pearl, you got the soldier on the line with you too, Mama Pearl.
I'm
sorry. You got the soldier on the line, Savannah Black on the line with you also.
Oh, my brother. Yes, all y'all my brothers. I love you all so much. It's an honor to be among you. I promise you. Yes.
What you talking about? So, no, the honor is mine. The honor is mine.
All praise is due to the Most High. How about that?
All praise is due to the Most High. To the universe, to the I that's within I, and the I that I am, you know?
Come on.
But I was listening earlier when, is that Messiah on the line?
Yeah, brother, what's up, brother?
Hold up, what's up, brother, what's going on? I was listening to what he was saying about that interview with Talib Kweli. A lot of people, man, they say when they talking, they're not looking at the day. They're looking at the future. So when you're like, damn, why he didn't say so-and-so? Why he didn't do so-and-so? That's because if anything was to happen, they don't want nobody to be able to take a sound bite out of what they said, you know, down the line and use it against them. You know, look at the only person I know that got away with that shit is Ice Cube. Think about it. But you know, he had to do something in order to get in the situation where he can make movies that white people kids love.
Mm-hmm.
You never heard O'Reilly bring it up. You never heard none of those Fox pundits bring it up. Even CNN, even news columns. And it makes you wonder, say, damn, he had a song called Cage Bitch. He had a song called I Want to Kill Sam. No disrespect to Ice Cube. But it's some things that he did. It had to be some things that he did in order to work that out. And some people would look at that and say, well, you know what, that man money had went to walking and all the bullshit went to talking. And I would like to wish and think and hope that it worked like that, but it don't work like that. Mm-hmm. It's like Brother Sunray say, shit, the white man going to pay $200 for it, but you're going to end up paying $400 for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the white man going to get it in 6 months when you won't have to wind up getting it in 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
But you have people saying, you know what, fight hard.
Oh, man. Now you just hit so many levels. That's why I go so strong on this Black Dolls, especially at Christmas time. I know we higher consciousness know that there's no such thing as Christmas and this, you know, the white beast and da-da-da-da-da-da. But we didn't always know. I know I didn't know it as a child. I looked forward to, you know, to Christmas, you know, and Santa Claus and all that, you know, good things. I did, you know, not, you know, and you know, even my children did for a little while until I came into the awareness and had to bring them into the awareness. But they've already, you know, there's a time in your life and you just automatically just realize ain't no damn Santa Claus, you know, and they don't exist. It's your mom and your daddy. You know, that just, you know, you just wake up. That's just, you know, third eye is trying to come open. It just happens naturally. But, shit, these, you know, Christmas time, so many of our babies, and I say this because I used to fight hard looking for black baby dolls for my babies, all right, for my two daughters. Here it is Christmas time, the heat of, you know, the economic boom, you know, the cash registers are going cha-ching-cha-ching-cha-ching everywhere, but you won't have no black dolls when my black babies come into these beautiful stores in their neighborhood. And there are no black dolls, but there are beautiful white dolls all over the place. And then they have black people, you know, at the register with these white dolls all lined up in front of them. I walk into a place like that, and I promised you I kind of nicely went off. What the hell is wrong with y'all sitting up here smiling in my damn face, and, you know, and I'm looking at all these white dolls lined up when it's Christmas time, and all these little black girls coming in here, and I don't see no black dolls. What's going on with y'all? Well, miss, you know, it's not our responsibility, you know. I like, excuse you? You don't think you have the power to go in there, both of you all, and talk to this manager in here and let him know you're in our neighborhood and my little black girl comes in here and there's no white dolls. So, I mean, that's psychological genocide of the finest right there. You got little children coming in all happy. The store's all decorated, toys everywhere. I don't give a fuck what you say. Children going to get excited when they see toys. Even the ones that you kept away from toys and they know where it came from, blah, blah, blah. There's just something about children and things that shine and toys that just, I don't know, kind of make them clean. It just happens. You know? So, but they go in there and there's nothing to resemble them. But it's going to come eventually. It's going to come in maybe a week or two, you know, after the white girls and shine. And then you got the little black boys coming in there seeing the little white dolls all dressing up, looking pretty, heroes shining, you know, and everything like that. So they fall in love and admiring the white figure. Again, that's a deity. Hmm. You know, they're admiring the white figure from the beginning. And that's why the cry out to this show, my brothers, is was to all mothers, but all praises to the Most High. Again, alchemy. It is a cry out to all mothers. My beautiful, beautiful, bad, sexy as you want to be, brave, fairy sisters and mamas. And mamas, you know, the Most High put in my chest, I'm Mama Pearl. And that's not a name I gave myself, you know, because like I said, I'm a mother and a grandmother, and you know how it is, your mother and your friends were growing up and they called Mama. I mean, that's how I got to be named Mama Pearl. Don't trip. You know, I didn't give myself the name, but, you know, that's how, you know, it came about. You know, so, I mean, I forgot where I was going with that, children, people. But I'm telling
you. No, I think you was about to ask those mothers to not do that
absolutely.
Shit.
Absolutely. Thank you. And this is what the Most High put in my chest, that mamas means. Mothers against murdering Africans. And mothers against murdering African spirits. Regardless of what happened, we forgot our place, woman. We are the first teachers. We were told by our ancestors to keep our head covered, not in the physical manner, because we were also told that our hair was given to us for our beauty and our glory, but to keep our head covered in spiritual awareness, spiritual consciousness, because we are, you know, the soil. That's the connection from the etheric realm through the mother to the child. While it's in the womb, although the creator, all creator, knows the soul that has already been manifested within the womb. But the soul can't come to life without the body when it comes into the physical world. So that's when you come into the physical world, you come in with your soul, and then your spirit automatically comes into existence. Just like, you know, you have a match and you have a spark, but you don't have, I mean, you have a match and you have a rock, but you don't even have a spark until you, you know, ignite it, kiss it, that's that kiss. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mama Pearl, you made some, you said something interesting. When you was talking about just dolls, like, fan, I know somebody else, I just been hearing somebody. That's a cold psychological game, because even now they got this so-called walking living doll they call Nicki Minaj that's messing our young teenage girls up. They made her, you know, she's supposed to be the Barbie, the new Barbie
black
doll.
Black Barbie.
But look who image and likeness she actually look like. Yeah, so that's another psychological game they playing with the doll thing. I'm glad you brought that up, too.
Wow, devils. And again, being under the awareness now, that high principle in mathematics is that's a working of alchemy. Mm-hmm. See, now our children are idolizing this deity. They don't know what's behind Nicki Minaj. And if they do, they're so docile now, dumbed down by the advertising and the TV and now their parents, because their parents, you know, just might as well just lay down and just be furniture, because they bag on wood. You know, they just got all the damn knowledge. There's no way. You know what I'm saying? If nothing on the universe is solid, and you know that, because you such a scholar, you know, ain't nothing on this universe is solid. Nothing but your word. That's, what would you call that? Oh, God.
You want to put, you got like, we got like 10 minutes live. We got 10 minutes still live streaming.
Wow. Well, I just want to say, again, the woman has forgotten their place. And a lot of our young men, child, you know, has truly forgotten what is place, their place. And let me tell you, Brother Sarah, a lot of people would be surprised. I am the ancient newcomer. Again, that's the name, you know, the Most High, you know, gave to me. And, you know, I heard it, you know, years before. And all of a sudden, it just jumped into my chest. I mean, you know, ancient newcomer. And what that means, you know, being of the awareness, you know, conscious. I mean, awareness is so much greater than being conscious. And you can just, you know, see that when you go to visit someone, you know, who maybe just be coming out of a coma or something. You know, I mean, they're conscious. But are they aware? No. They ain't ripe yet. As I'm saying, the fruit don't fall far from the tree. You know, it always goes back to the tree. But, you know, when you are aware that, you know, I mean, that awareness and consciousness is infinite. You know, there's no way you can know, you know, it all. And there's just, you know, truly no one way to have one source. Because if there were, there wouldn't be so many trees. You know, that is like what, the micro and the macro, you know, type of a situation. So, but that's what it is. But I do have here one of the first books of, you know, my great brother. And I truly admire his spirit, you know, and before, you know, things went awry, he was able to put the better part of his spirit in his words, which he has documented in this book. And each word that is written in this book as well have a different vibration and frequency and tone. And this is the book I'm talking, you know, the Holy Tablet, you know, by Dr. Malachi. And it says Dr. Malachi Z. York, H. T. M. You know, and my book was, you know, bought and purchased back in, you know, like 1982 or something like that. You know, so, you know, I read it, you know, pretty extensively. And being of conscious, aware mind, you know, knowing how to discern things, you know, for myself, and going back to the cry for the woman and talking about, you know, what's happening with a lot of our brothers today, because all I see is black. I don't give a fuck about nothing else. That's all I see is my babies, my brothers, my sisters, my people that look like me. I'd be a fool, an idiot, if I think anything else. And it's obvious that all of the other ethnicity or races, whatever you want to call them, you know, independent different groups of people, feel the same way because they are excelling amongst their group, their race, their ethnicity, whatever. And we are not, you know? So, I mean, we have got to be about ourselves first. But this is the Holy Tablet Miracle, and I'm going to read this real quick. This is in chapter 1. This is tablet 14107. And quickly, I'm going to say here, from 77 to 99, and we know anything, 99 is certainly the reasoning, Most High reasoning. Here it goes. It says, put on your shield of protection against the deceiver. Many have gone into the world, and yet still many are not yet born. Nancy is the mother of your procreation, and before Zeus, women were recognized as the mother deities. We have males born of females, yet will restrict them. All of the great prophets came through the canal of a female. only in the reptile family do you find male transformed to females and females transformed to male by nature's call. Associate not with the man that respects not the woman. Okay? I say this was, I read this back in 1982, and here I am calling out against it right now. Our brother says, associate not with the man that respects not the woman, for even that man was conceived by the woman. The mother, simply the meter or master, she reflects the light of a properly lit sun in wisdom. She has four periods as four phases of the moon. The moon that you see has no light of its own, but it has mass and does exist in the purest state, darkness before chaos. Thus, her weakness comes from the man, darkness and pure, and the moon sits in darkness as an assistant to the earth, controlling her tide. As the moon, rightly called Luna, has an effect on the mental state on those who lean towards her, the lunatic, let not the sensitivity or the apparent weakness of a woman alter your state of consciousness. Let me read it again to you, my brother. It says, let not the sensitivity or the apparent weakness of a woman alter your state of consciousness. Stay in control. If the moon ceases to pull upon the tides of this planet, it will overheat as the evening comes and be no more. If man ceases to respond to the whims of a woman or over-respond to the emotional changes of a woman, he too will overheat, transform into a lunatic, and be no more. Yeah is her name. She has been worshipped by the agreeable or the disagreeable. Come on now. And that's the holy tablet, Nap. That's the holy tablet by our brother. You know what I'm saying? When you are in your spiritual mind and your third mind in the spiritual body, you know, and then you knowing what you're doing, you know, it's got to be the hardest thing to have all of this knowledge and awareness and then to put it in words. To bring it down, to put it in words. Don't you realize that even the way each word is arranged, you know, how they're, you know, because he could have chosen a whole variety of different words, different tones. It's just like playing the piano. The Beethoven symphony, y'all know what I'm saying? I got these big lips. What is it?
You know how it is. Oh. We speak in English. That's how I feel.
You know what I'm saying? Well, anyway, that was a mathematical equation. But it's beautiful music, right? So if someone was genius enough, because we are, this is what our musicians are supposed to be able to do, not, you know, being a traveling musician and out there, you know, dropping their seed in every reptilian, insect, low-life, disease, degenerate, white, melanin, recessive, you know what that they can get. You know what I'm saying? It's like, Well, I want to thank you all for being here, you know, truly with me this evening. And I know that our sisters are still listening, you know, but we have to stand up and come forth, my sister. You really have to realize the power that they have. It is written, it's been written so long, and we know the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. But we have to get that in our consciousness and act accordingly. there's no way that no male child should be talking to a woman, regardless of the age, like that. He's a goddamn lunatic. He's got rabies. What do you do? What do you do when something has rabies? I mean, again, when you have a foreword, this is like a foreword. When you get a foreword, you have been forewarned. Mm. And because we are in the now, everything is written for right now. That's the algorithm that they talk about. And it's written, you know, I can't, you know, like I'm saying, I there was a time, and I'm telling you, this is so funny, there was a time when I knew every chapter, every verse, every scripture. I tell you where to go get it, no problem. But because, you know, I mean, I don't know, I got enough from that tree. Now it's in me. You know, so this, they're my weapons now. You know, and I know how to use it. You know, and when I come at you with it and you want to challenge me, go ahead. Find it. After you done got your head cut off and you walking around with your tail and your goddamn hand, go find it. Hmm. Again, thank you all for being here with me today. Sisters, this is our problem. We have to be accountable too. You know, we have to come together. You know, we were created after our kind, okay? So we as sisters are after our kind. And we have to realize our place, and we damn sure have got to make the ones who has come through our canal realize. See, the power, why we were told to keep our heads covered in the spiritual realm, so that you can always have spiritual guidance, which comes through, you know, the third eye. You have to keep it awake, keep your head covered to listen and learn from the elders who are in the whirlwind that you can hear quietly. And you have to think about positive things. Our brother also written in here, and it's also in the Bible, you know, different languages, but it's the same principle. Like I say, the story may change, but the principle remains the same. That was a principle, you know, and there's so much in this book. But I just want to let so many people know here today who's going to, you know, try to argue with me and interject anything. And there's nowhere in this here holy tablet where I find anything that say to combine and connect with, you know, that melanin recessive germ man. And that's just a polite way of putting it. And again, like I said, I bought and purchased my book, and it's well written, you know, since 1982. Along with, you know, other books. You know, like I'm saying, this is, all this stuff is wood. I mean, if you want to get knowledge, if you don't know how to apply it, you know, I was talking to a scholar today and got angry. I don't know. It tickles me, especially on Google Plus. I'm going out there. I'm not going out being combative. I'm going out and sharing love. You know, I'm a little fragile thing. You know, just trying to share love. When you're trying to come mind to mind, uno to uno, and it's an open field. You know, I mean, when you're in the spiritual realm, the spirit overrules the physical. So you can't win me on the physical realm, you know, with the mental. You know, you're going to have to come a little higher. And then when you come high, because you've got all this knowledge, which unlocks the door that allow you to travel, but if you're not coming with the spiritual, in the spiritual, you can't win. Try as you may, you just can't win. It is what it is. Universal law. My mothers, we have to get a hold of our man-child. Fathers, we have to get a hold of our man-child. man child, you know, running wild, you better sit your behind down. All of you, my brothers, I love you. Baba Khalid, we got our elder, I mean, who know exactly what I'm talking about, and he's just listening. Can you say a word, Baba? You still with us? Is he still with us, son?
Oh, no, he's not in here now.
Oh, man.
Well, Hotel, I would like to say, you know, I really appreciate the sister. You know, I tuned in late, but, you know, I'm hearing everything. Me and the sister just dropping straight science, and that's what I deal with, you know, and that's what I deal with. You know, as far as I deal with my children, I have babies, and I have children under the age of 9.
Come on, bless.
I cannot really sit there and tell them what's going on in the media, what's going on out there with the shootings, because that's not teaching them about who they are. But by the time they come aware of what's going on out there, they'll already be prepared, and they already know they self. They'll know what's high and what is low. They'll know they self from the stars, the universe, man, woman, child. They'll know everything. They'll know all the alchemical sciences. They'll be diplomats. They'll be able to move and travel. And with this knowledge, no shy man, no rabbi, no preacher, no whoever can't mess with you when you know the science of yourself.
Nothing.
And the science of your life.
You know what I'm saying? Because anybody can pick up this book that unlocks, and this is that wood I'm talking about. Because all this is made from paper, which has been reduced, you know, from the wood, you know? So this is wood. I mean, as long as you give me some wood, you know, so I'm saying a brother was able to choose certain words that's going to, you know, trigger, you know, certain spiritual points, you know, within you that's going to allow you to not just expand your mind. That's what I was trying to get at. This brother, I don't know, he's stuck on going linear, expanding your mind. You can't expand your mind. When you learn how to expand your mind, then you've really done something. Ha, 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 ha. Don't realize, you know, but then maybe he do. But I don't think he does because he's so ignorant, because that's not him. He's trying to refuse the fact that he is from under this tree. You know what I'm saying? Because if you're not from under this tree, you automatically know that what I'm saying don't apply to you. Or you wouldn't be arguing like we're all sitting here, you know, having a pleasant conversation. You know, and what did the I am said? Whenever there are two or more in my name, which is saying, you know, discussing truth, science, love, and awareness, there I am in the midst. Already been said. It's just that we were taught to interpret it a different way. Okay, who to say that your perception, their perception is all about the signs. You got to take a rock and put it on your stomach and, you know, across your toes and visualize this, and that's going to get you to where I'm telling you that you are, that we're all sitting at the table feasting off of. Wow. Don't get me started.
No, go ahead, Mama Pearl. Go ahead.
Man, this has been wonderful. I love you all. You know, and it's just the fact that just loving true knowledge and respect, it all comes together. And, you know, it's interesting how our brother, again, giving all props to Dr. Malachi Z. York, you know, he's talked about right knowledge. And how do you know when you have right knowledge? The same thing is, how do you know that we are sitting here and this is a spiritual thing? How do you know? There are certain ways to, you know, to discern it, you know, if you just have to break it down. You know, there's three things, because we're here on this third dimensional realm, which is the third planet from the sun, you know, so we on this third dimensional reality, you know. How you know through right knowledge is experience. What is it? Experience, knowledge, and reasoning. Is that it? Right, knowledge. Experience, come on now. I know something just made me snap that one out of my head. Oh, experience, evidence, and reasoning.
There you go,
Evan. Thank
you. There you go.
Oh, phrases. That's the same thing, you know. And, you know, we were told that's what discernment means. You were given discernment. We were all given a measure of discernment. How do you discern? Not just your brain, you know, but through the mechanism of your brain to connect with your mind, which is out there in the universe somewhere. But if you don't have control, well, there's another thing Rena Scholar was talking about. He says, you know, that the mind the mind is greater than the spirit, you know, and I try to get him to understand that if you don't have the spirit, how can you even try to, you know, argue, you know, point, you know, I mean, like I said, if you don't belong with this damn tree, get to go, you know, so, well, anyway. Y'all, I know it's late. Brother Sun, do y'all have anything else to say? I've been talking and talking and talking. I still have some, you know, so much writing to do.
I'm fine. So, go ahead, brother.
Mama Pearl, I have one to say. Thanks for bringing up, you know, it's never about the moon and the earth and the tide. And you also had touched on Beethoven, right? And one of my favorite songs by Beethoven is Moonlight Sonata.
Wow.
It's one of my favorite classical songs, actually. And
those are all formulas, mathematical equations.
That was one of the songs that I listened to, and when it changed something inside of me. You know, I remember about 20 years ago, I forgot where I was at, but a classical song came on, and it just did something to my consciousness, my mind state, and everything. And after the song went off, the white dude said, "That was Beethoven with Moonlight Sonata." I said, "Moonlight Sonata." I said, "Damn!" I said, "Man, I like classical music." And this is my thinking back then, and this is exactly what I said. I said, "Damn, I like classical music just like white people."
But
you know,
that's our music. That's our music. And Beethoven was a brother that got wiped down. That's all our music, you know. So I'm saying the musicians among us, that's what they're supposed to be doing, you know, correcting and striking these chords. Instead of being destructive, when you actually when you start talking about vibrations, and people are aware, the ones who are aware of what they're doing, and we're not aware of what they're doing, you know, and that's, you know, happens in a lot of the technology and demonology and the music and the videos and things like that. And I give props to whomever created that one, and they broke down under the umbrella by Brianna and Jay-Z. Man, that stuff sent shivers all up and down me when they talked about the different levels of demonicism, you know, that has our children, our people, whomever, you know, bopping and singing that little melody that's a chant that they know what it means, but we don't know what it means. We're just singing the chant, but we're actually waking up and giving energy to this beast that they're, you know, waiting to wake up, but we don't know that. You know what I'm saying? This is different, but alchemy. Everyone is aware of this but us, because we are taught to be docile. When you stand up and fight back and be defensive, you acting like a baboon, a fool, you know, and you better be careful because, you know, they're going to come after you. You know, and if you read the story, you know, in the Bible somewhere, you know, where they came after, you know, our brother, and I forgot who he is right now, but y'all was fine to read the story. They came after him, and they surrounded him, and they said, ha-ha, we got you. We got you surrounded. You know, and he went into that spiritual realm, and he said, you better look again. all those soldiers came out of the spiritual realm and manifested into the physical. They're with you all the time. You've got to know how to do it. So I'm saying you walk in the spirit and you see your enemy. You also see your spiritual guide. And they want to scare you about, you know, how can there be a spiritual guide? Because I read this and I studied that, you know, but you didn't study yourself.
And you know what? A lot of people, they know that, you know, they know about the spark and they know about the light. They know, you know, that they are, you know, energy coming from the one source. But at the same time, when it comes time to fight, they're scared. They're scared to die. You know, they still have that Christian mentality indoctrinated inside of their mind, their heart, their soul, and their spirit. Now, look, I did the burn cracker Jesus challenge. I did the burn cracker Jesus challenge. But at the same time, I'm going to hear from everybody that's listening on something else. The cracker worked for me. I'm talking about, really, he worked for me.
I heard now, that. With your enemy, your footstool, our elders left that for us too. Our ancestors left those instructions for us. Go ahead.
I've been places where I've seen that same cracker of the most unlikely places that you think that this cracker of faith will show up. He have shown up. And I wondered inside my little child mind, what the hell is this cracker doing while all those black folks, while we seeing all these African chants, and, you know, they sweating and talking in all these different tongues.
That's right, that's
but
right.
But then when I seen them take the cracker and put the cracker by the pot and add other little shit, then I realized that, shit, this cracker really worked for us.
That's
you
right.
You know, but we have been fooled because we stay away from our natural abilities of root conjuring.
That's
herbs.
Right. That's
you
right.
know, that if anybody was to mention it around us, we'd be like, oh, you better go away from me with all that voodoo. That's the first thing we like to call it, is voodoo.
Right.
In front of Messiah, he know exactly what I'm talking about. But
right.
it's in us to be the conjurers. We are the
right.
conjurers. We are the alchemists. We are the ones that make, you know what I'm saying, gold out of wrought iron. You know what
Absolutely.
I'm saying? But we have strayed so far away from our
mm-hmm.
heritage because
mm-hmm.
we have sold our soul basically, you know, for
that
trinkets.
Don't belong to you. That's what I'm saying. You sell something that belongs to you because all souls belong to the Most High, highest. Period.
the I am a part of the I of eyes. I'm saying it's no words can explain the almighty of almightiest. You
None.
Know. But I know, you know, it's somebody had said to me, say, nah, you telling people to burn that picture, but that picture helped a lot of people out. I said, well, shit, the people that know how to use the picture, you know, that it help out. They know how far to go with it. I said, that wasn't for them. That was for the people that's using, that the picture is using them instead of them using the picture.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
We're supposed to be using the picture, but the
Absolutely.
Picture is using us.
You know, and I did the exact same thing, my brother. You know, back in the, you know, the 60s, like say, hey, I was born in 56, so, you know, to me, you know, that was, you know, back then, that's my life, what can I tell you? But we had that same picture of Jesus, you know, in those dark colors, the blue scarf with the red, you know, something in the long hair, and he was looking up at his hand and got the little blood thing on his chest, you know. And you know, we never had much when we had finally moved to a house that had an, you know, indoor bathroom, and I was so excited. You know, the bathroom became my favorite place because all the other bathrooms, you know, was like outside. Oh man, that's a different story. But we had this picture, and my mother kept it hung up in the dining room, which we were never allowed to go into except for when company came over. And whenever they came over, I would go and stand and look up at this picture and look at my skin and look at the skin of the picture And, you know, my mother used to say, you know, well, Jesus say, you know, if there's any confusion, he ain't in. Who's the author of confusion? The author of... So I'm looking at that, and I'm looking at that Jesus, and I'm looking at my skin. And, you know, when I go out and these people, the same color is so mean and hateful, and they're doing these things, and I've seen the strange fruits that's hanging, you know, so you're trying to tell me that this is the thing? There's got to be something greater than this picture, because I know that my Jesus got to look like me. You know, even as a child, I had deduced that, you know. So you're right. I used that picture. Yes.
Remember on Good Times when JJ had Drew Ned DeWino as Jesus, and
yes,
the daddy was like, keep him up, because the whole the fortune of the house started changing. Everything started changing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, James had went to pool hall, won some money. Something happened with them, or something happened with my, something happened with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the mama kept denying it. She kept denying it. She kept saying, you know what? I don't care what y'all say. You know, now, we ain't going to blaspheme the law like that right there by putting up Ned talking about he's Jesus. And, you know, she kept putting up the cracker Jesus. And then James kept putting up the black Jesus. And it kept going back and forth. And I remember watching that, and I was like, man, I wish we had a black Jesus. But until I, and this is funny, this is a funny part. Now, talking to my mama about certain things and asking about things from when I was a kid, we had that Jesus on the side, you know, that's hanging up, Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you got the Martin Luther King, and you got the John F. Kennedy. That was like, I don't know, is that a trinity or what, but you remember that picture?
Yes.
But I'm asking my mama about this stuff, and you know what my mama told me?
What?
She said, shit, I only fuck with it. She said, I know that shit's some bullshit. She said, but this one, this is exactly what she said. She said, but shit, I only fuck with him when I need to do some things. That's exactly what she said. She said, I only fuck with him when I need to do some things. And so I asked her, why is it that she never told me that it was some, you know, bullshit growing up? And
right,
she told me that, you know, she knew I was going to come into, you know, come into my being. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
But
it was violent.
It's six of us, and I'm the oldest.
Mm-hmm.
Out of all six kids, I'm the only one.
Mm.
And I told her, I said, well, you know, you would have saved me from a lot of situations where I almost lost my life if you would have had enlightened me with this information.
Right.
Come to find out, she knows something. But at the same time, shit, everybody knows. Everybody knows something, Mama Pearl. All of them going to the church. All of them waving their hand back and forth, you know, whatever the preacher says.
Right.
All of them, you think they're going against their nature, but really they kind of are because of they outwardly worshiping for the eyes, the feet of this cracker.
Right.
Behind closed doors, everybody doing something totally different.
Yes.
Everybody, if you pick up the mobile Bibles and you flip through it, you'd be like, damn, what the hell, this little piece of paper is rolled up. You know, what the hell is this writing is at the bottom going backwards. You understand what I'm saying? What the hell this picture right here is turned inside out of? You know, why grandma picture is taped to the back of this Jesus picture? You understand what I'm saying? Now, I'm talking a little bit too much, Mama Pearl, but...
No, you tell the truth.
But
that's
this not only inside my mama house. I used to have this thing where I used to go to people's house, and I go and try to find the Bible. But not the Bible that's sitting inside the living room, but the Bible.
Uh-oh, no,
and
you didn't.
9 times out of 10, if I open that Bible, I had to be very covert in my operations.
You had not come left with my Bible, let me tell you.
No, I was a little kid.
Wow.
I just wanted to just look inside of it and just see if I see certain things like pennies, $2 bills. I'm just going to keep my mouth shut, but it's just certain things that I want to see was inside certain people's houses that were holy rollers. And 9 times out of 10, all of them had that inside of their Bible, either one way or another, or all the way.
Mm-hmm.
But if the sisters that they stop keeping these secrets from their kids because they're scared of the persecution that they're going to receive from other people. Then we are never advance and get back to who we are as people. And I can imagine, Mama Pearl, you know, you got two kids and you were still in them the righteousness. And I had a son that stayed with me and I still with him the righteousness. But one thing I should have had did that I didn't do, I relied on family to back me up. But at the same time, some of my people, they're conscious of the way of certain things, but at the same time, they refuse to move from out of the nigger box.
Right. Oh, and it's frustrating. It's so frustrating. Like, man, you can't elevate. You're too busy thinking about expanding the mind, you know, going the linear way. What about elevating the mind? You know, you can't think about that. You know, in order to elevate one's mind, you know, you have to become as light as a feather. You know, I mean, that means you have to get rid of all of that knowledge. All of those facts that you just know. relying on your own understanding.
Exactly.
You know? Wow.
A lot of people play possum for so long. Which is playing dead. They play possum for so long that when it's time to wake up, they forget that they're living. And they continue to stay in a dead state, you know. And that's something that people that I know have done. They have fooled around and they played around this Christianity bullshit so long, going with the system, that it did something to their mind where they actually forgot over half the shit that grandma had taught them.
You know what I'm saying? But the thing that truly trips me out, you know, and I mean, even right now, you know, you have these Bible-toting, Bible-loving people. And don't get me wrong, we talk is a lot of truth and knowledge because, you know, those truths, and you know the truth, you know, the spirit recognized spirit, that's the truth because God is a spirit which speaks to your spirit and you're going to know those truths, you know. So, but those truths was given to us, and again, I'm so tired. I'm telling you all, I lost my train of thought just then again. You had to kick me again, my brother. Where was I?
No, you were talking about the truth.
The truth. Yeah, you know the truth when you hear it, when you feel it. So the truth don't need no help. You don't have to embellish on it. You know, these things were written, you know, even in that book, you know. It's just so much. Again, I'm so tired. And I think I am going to go and lay down for about 2-3 hours.
Yes, ma'am. And you know what? Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. You know what, Mama Pearl, I had to bring myself back to you. I had to bring myself back to you, and I had to bring myself back to the sisters. I was allowed to be in the nigger box, and coming out of the nigger box was my choice and my decision.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people out there, they're allowing their kids to stay inside a nigger box, and they're letting them come out whenever it's, you know, they let them have their own choice and their own decision on when they're going to come out.
Thank you.
I don't, but the way this world plans, you're looking at Michael Brown killing, you're looking at all the little things going on, even the black on black, where the black brothers killing other brothers, you know, the brothers killing sisters. We don't have time to let people play us out of nigger box like they was able to play the nigger box back in the days. Because the statistics are lining up with what them crackers used to say back in the days of either being dead, either being in jail, or either being, you know, caught up on some type of drugs by a certain age. That's just how hard they program. So while you letting your little black boy and girl run around here inside a nigger box, you have to be mindful that the nigger box have a lid that when it closes, it's hard. Remember the old commercials? back in the days, they used to talk about the refrigerators. That used to be. And I remember playing in a vacant lot as a kid, and we'll be playing, right? It might be 12 of us, and we'll see the refrigerator there on the side. Hey, and you'd be like, hey, look, man, it's a refrigerator over there, man. I'm about to get ready to go home, you know, because they had us so scared. Because you know what I'm talking about, right?
I've always wondered why the children would play the refrigerator. You teaching me something. Go ahead, I'm listening.
But that's how the nigga boss is. If you get trapped inside a nigga box and there's nobody there to let you out, you can suffocate right there. You can suffocate in it. You know?
Yes,
and a lot of people don't realize that. And I kind of got mad at my mother for what she did. Mm. But at the same time, I appreciated it because I had to learn to grow on my own. And it's much better, I think, getting it on my own than it would have been if I had been brought up in the way. Because if I had been brought up in the way, I'd be like a lot of these brothers out here and sisters out here that are teachers, but they can't relate to the little black boys and girls out there who really need this information, who really need to see us as adults be strong warriors.
That's right.
And now you want to persecute the little black boy and girl because he want to go up and fight the beast and you want to talk shit about him. and her, it's just crazy.